visualization of the sprays, multi-plume sprays, six sprays injected into this jet. So at the beginning, the sprays are injected into quiescent chamber, air is stagnant, and then they're going to be injected into the jet, and we look at the interaction of the liquid phase and the gas phase. And for this simulation, we'll use the URANs and LES, which I'm going to shortly explain. So this is kind of this experimental setup. That's the nozzle design that we have for the air jet. And in this figure two, you can see that the air is injected with a high speed, and the fuel injector sprays the liquid fuel into the air. And using particle image velocimetry, we illuminate the flow field with laser. The flow is seeded, and then we capture images and then post-process them, obtain the velocity field, and then we can look at different properties. So this is an experimental image of the jet. So that red part is basically the high-speed velocity. I didn't put in color bars because I didn't want to go through the details of those. But the blue part is a low velocity. There's a potential core, the edge of the jet. But we need more information. That's why we want to do simulation. And this is the image of the spray. So we have six sprays injected. But here in this view on the left, you can see only four of the sprays in a stagnant air. But on the right, you can see that the interaction of the sprays with the air jet is happening here. They kind of merge into one plume of spray, and it's obviously deflected, and we expect that this can enhance the atomization, enhance the mixing, and we're going to look into that in the numerical work too. I don't know if the colors don't look very nice. We just kind of change it, but so obviously for our computational work, we need some computational domain. So this is the computational work on the air jet. So we have the nozzle. That's the nozzle here, the nozzle wall, the inlet, and this is the computational domain for the jet region. We will use both URANS modeling and the LES for the air jet. And this is the computational domain for the spray injection into the quiescent chamber. So we have six plumes, and if you look at the plumes in a cross stream, it's like they distribute it on an elliptic shape, which I'm going to show you that in some of the results. And we use, obviously, this is a multi-phase phenomenon that we are using Eulerian Lagrangian approach for now to model the spray and gas interaction. And there are other submodels to take into account the effect of breakup, coalescence, evaporation, turbulent dispersion of the droplets. So quickly, I'm just going to go through the URANS equations. So we basically are solving one single phase problem and one multi-phase problem, or a two-phase problem. And for a single phase problem, we're usually using Navier-Stokes equations, the continuity and the momentum equation. And for a Reynolds average Navier-Stokes equations, the averaging results into some terms like shear stress term in equation three. You can see them. They relate them based on Boussinesq's hypothesis to the velocity gradients of the flow. Then they define the turbulent viscosity, which is related to K, production of kinetic energy, and epsilon, dissipation of the turbulent energy. To obtain those, we solve this equation number five, the transport equations for K and epsilon, and that's how we close the equation. So this is the RANS model. For the LES model, we don't model these shear stresses. We have to resolve them as much as possible, and that makes it very expensive computationally. So with some kind of filtering, we filter out the smallest scale of the flow field, which are high frequencies, and keep the low frequencies using a low-pass filtering. And we are always limited to grid size, refining the grid size, and obviously refining the time step. So that makes the LES more complicated. For the liquid phase, we're basically applying Newton's second law, the first equation. This is an acceleration balance, basically. If you multiply it by mass, you get force. And we integrate this one for individual droplets, and then we get the velocity, integrate one more time, we get the location, and then we can track the every droplet in the domain. And obviously the droplets, the discrete phase and the continuous phase, are consistently interacting using the source terms that we have in the equations. Like the F is the forces that can be affected by the discrete phase, that SM is a mass source term that can be added due to the evaporation of the liquid phase to the continuous phase. For example, the drag force is defined here, the particle Reynolds number is defined here, and so that's how we model this problem. So quickly jump into the results. As I mentioned, I just want to more quantitatively look at the results. This is a very good picture to show the difference between the Rance and Elias model. So the first model is the Rance model. The jet is exiting the nozzle here, and there is a potential core at the edge of the jet. It's expanding linearly as it moves downstream. But you see that the contours are smoothed out, and that's because of the nature of the Rance equations. They are Reynolds average Navier-Stokes equations. But when you look at Elias, you can see that the same problem, there's a lot of deformation in the jet flow field. Contractions, expansions, and there are a lot of fine scales at the edges of the jet, which are impossible to resolve in a Rance model. So, and these, the size of these scales are related to that filtering threshold that we choose by our grid size. And it's been a long time that this, not a very long time, like maybe 1.5 months, 2 months running, and the jet has only involved like 8 diameters downstream with 64 processors. And at this point, we have 30 million cells. The Rance model, you can run it on your workstation with 3 million cells, for example, 2 million cells. So that's the big difference. And obviously, if I want to do the sampling, ensemble averaging, or sample any property that I want, like velocity, and perform the averaging of the LES and compare it to the experimental data, it's going to take years if it goes with this speed. So obviously, we need some more help from SharkNet to have better facilities and increase the quality of this work. So this is a three-dimensional view of the same jet. So this is a starting jet. It's not still steady jet. So we are looking at the isovalues of pressure. So the low pressures in the region are basically characterizing the vertical structures, the vortices. So when the jet exits, here we can see the vortex ring. I don't know if it's clear or not. Some weak vortex rings are formed. They go downstream, they start pairing, they merge, they grow in the form of vertical structures, and then downstream in terms of coherent structures. So the shear layer is formed. And this isocontour is colored by velocity. So near the center line, near the potential core, higher velocity, obviously. Near the edges, the jet is decelerated by the ambient and lower velocity. And this is a leading vortex tip, which is kind of pinched off from the main body of the jet. So far, the jet is behaving like a starting jet. The simulation has to go on and we look at the steady jet. This is an LES with for the spray problem. So in different views, 4-3, and this is that elliptic cross-section that we can see for the sprays. So six sprays are injected. We're looking at the liquid droplets. They're colored by velocity magnitude. That obviously, near the injection point, the velocity is higher. As we go downstream, the droplets are decelerated as a result of the drag force by the gas field. This is a rough or very coarse mesh that we're using. We're just testing. Obviously, we have to increase the quality of the mesh to look at better results. So in this case, as I mentioned, the spray is injected into a stagnant air. So there's no initial movement of the air. So what happens is that when these sprays are injected, they produce what we call spray-induced gas jets or air jets, which you can see here. So these features that you can see here are actually the gas field. This is the liquid field. This is the gas field that started to move as a result of the momentum transfer from the liquid to the gas. And interestingly, these gas jets are behaving very similar to single phase jets, gas jets. So here, in that elliptic shape, imagine we cut the plane through these two sprays. So obviously here only we can see two sprays. And this is actually, again, the gas field to show how it's similar to a single phase jet. The shear layer is formed in those red zones at the edges of the jets. The shear layer is formed, they expand when they go downstream, and kind of a potential core at the center line. And it is very important to understand the physics governing these jets, because they play a very important role in the mixing process and consequently on the ignition, combustion, and pollution formation. So we really need to look at more details about these jets. So in summary, we use large eddy simulation and Urans modeling, and we looked at different aspects. Obviously, large eddy simulation, even in a qualitative point of view, is giving us more details and more information. We have tools to quantify these quantities and look at them in more detail. But as I mentioned, the main issue is the computational tools. They're very expensive, and we're planning to have better tools to be able to identify finer scales in the flow field. And the second problem is that it's a multiphase problem. A multiphase problem is a multiphase problem, and much more equations are interacting at the same time, so it's again computationally more expensive. You might have a reaction. If you have the combustion, the reactions play a role. So it is a very expensive calculation, and when you go to LES, obviously it becomes more of a problem. And then the preliminary results, I think, are not bad for now. We can say that we know how we're able to use the model. We just need to think of finding better tools to increase the quality of our work. So far, we have done the spray in the stagnant air and the air jet. So the next step is going to be to kind of combine these flow fields and see what is the interaction. We can also look at other multiphase approaches here. We are using Lagrangian modeling, discrete phase modeling, interacting with the continuous phase, which is the air here. We can look at other models like volume of fluids model, Eulerian approaches, and those models are even much more computationally expensive. So again, the same problem, and we have to work on that and see what can we get out of this work. Thanks for your attention. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to. Well, the benefit is that, first of all, jet problems and spray problems are fundamentally very interesting. It's not only this application. If we can understand these free shear flows, multiphase or single phase, we are fundamentally helping to contribute to the increase in the knowledge in this field, and that's the fundamental part. The other part is the application. In industry, in combustion system, it's very important that we have a good understanding of these processes, so that we can control the performance of the combustion system, and especially the level of emission that they produce.
Thank you. So what kind of mesh do you use?
The mesh? Okay, that's actually a very good question. We are using Converge for this one. So we're using finite volume approach for this solution. So in finite volume, usually, you create some mesh and locally refine the grid based on the experience, or the flow gradients are higher. But in Converge, the grid is adapted locally. So the software itself can find the location of the flow that you have higher curvatures, higher gradients, and the grid is almost automatically generated during the runtime. It's a Cartesian grid. Convergence, it is converging, because I think the quality of the instantaneous properties are good. So at each time step, it's converging. We have the criteria for the convergence. But if you want to look at a time average data, especially if you want to compare it to the experiments, we have to do the averaging. It's going to take a long time. With this speed, it's going to be like 3 years maybe. So we have to go for, and 3 years is a good time, I think, maybe more.
You mentioned you're interested in computing ensemble averages. Are you talking about like velocity structure function?
Yes, mainly the velocity structure. You can look at also the pressure field. You can also look at the vorticity field. Any properties if you want. So because this is a transitional flow, right? So the flow is transient. One way is that, for example, when you look at the velocity, you start sampling at every time step and then do a normal averaging. The other way is that when you do the ensemble averaging, you run it up to some point, for example, to this point that I have done it, 30 times, 50 times, and then perform the averaging of the properties that you want.
Right, so I was going to say you have some, you don't have any statistical symmetries you can make use of, so you don't have to run twice for each term in the average?
Oh, you mean the number?
Yeah, do you have something like a time translational symmetry or...
Oh, symmetry...
To reduce the ensemble average to something much more practical.
Symmetry, I'm not sure what you mean by symmetry in time. But as far as I know in the literature, something between 30, 40 for ensemble averaging, that's what they use for LES. And for if you're continuously sampling, they define some non-dimensional times. And based on the velocity, your length of scale, you have a non-dimensional time and a non-dimensional frequency. So you say, okay, this period I define, 30, 40 periods of that non-dimensional time is something that they use for that range.
I have one more question.
I might have just missed the beginning of your presentation. I don't understand the details of the physics here, but I do understand some like the basics of differential equations and the dynamics. Now, look at this picture
okay.
Here. What gradient those
Here, you're talking about these kind of instabilities that we see at the interface?
Right. Then you show the two pictures. One is the one model, and we have a very smooth contour, and the other is the LMS, and then we have
yes.
A chaotic ensemble contour.
Yes.
In
terms of the physics that is happening, what happens is that at the interface, we have a relative velocity between the gas field and the liquid field. It's these things kind of, this is a cross flow jet, but if I go to the, to one of the previous slides, maybe. So here, what we see, these instabilities start here and grow in terms of an instability wave. And when they are beyond some point, you know, the breakup happens. So this is because of the relative velocity, velocity gradient at the interface, and density gradient at the interface. But how we resolve them depends on the equations that we're solving. The Rance equations, because they perform the averaging to simplify the equations, they're not, so basically in nature they're average. So when you average these things, these instantaneous features are kind of lost. And they come up with some shear stress terms in the equations that I mentioned. So these shear stress terms, they have to model it. So this is an approximation called Bosinesque hypothesis. So they say, okay, this is related. This viscosity mu is not a physical viscosity here. They define it and say turbulence is adding some physical viscosity, and we can relate it to the velocity gradients to obtain shear stresses. And then we define K and epsilon, kinematic turbulence energy dissipation. So this is all modeling. So when we are modeling, and I forgot to mention, this is based on an isotropic assumption. So it means that the flow properties in every direction, the fluctuations are equal in every direction. So it means that everything is going to be smoothed out, everything is going to be average, and obviously that happens to the results. But in LES, they don't do that. I think we run out of time, but if you want, we can discuss that later. Sorry, we can, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.